welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast / mental health check-in for two broken brain best friends talking around their problems.
Around them.
But not about their problems. Nah. While laughing at movies.
Yeah.
So in the spirit of that, Ben, before we get to what we're doing, it's most important to me and that I care most of all about how you're doing.
Oh, bud.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I'm eating well. I'm gymming.
Ooh.
I'm sleeping. I'm fucking...
I'm functional, man.
Bro, I'm socializing, mate.
Fuck off, you're socializing.
Yeah, that's a fucking odd one for me. I'm getting myself out there. I'm being a little bit more social, man.
I mean, when you say socializing, are you just back to handing out business cards outside the Burns ward?
It's behind a KFC at 3 a.m.
But,
you know,
it's
baby steps, man. It's baby steps, you know what I mean?
Just printed out your Tinder profile.
I don't have a Tinder profile. Look at me.
I mean, a Tinder profile would be a bit tasteless outside of Burns World, wouldn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Are you on about the Timber profile? Because I am selling plywood. Everyone that's interested in 2x4s. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm annoyed, but I'm good because I've been saving up for months to buy a child's car. And the child returned from New Zealand and changed the price of the car by a cool 100%.
Wow.
So I went, I can't really deal with your double the price markup.
Right.
So I'm just going to buy a car elsewhere. Put one message on the little local, the village Facebook group.
Sure.
And about 9 people being like, please, for the love of God, take my car. And I might be seeing one tomorrow, so I might then be mobile.
Dude, if you are.
And then it's the...
And you don't come up and see me immediately, I'm going to be fucking fuming. You know that, right?
Yeah, mate. I can come up literally the next weekend.
Mate, do it.
So when I don't, take it personally.
Yes, I will. Fuck you. I want to socialize with you, Rob. Let me be.
Oh, God. No. Let's move on. What are we doing today, Ben? What are we doing?
Today, buddy, we are embarking on a brand new series.
Whoop, whoop.
One that will hopefully mean no one can hear our screaming. Alien 1979!
Strap in for the next hour because it's gonna get
gooey,
slimy. Even if you are an alien fanatic, I reckon we've got a few things you've never heard with sources.
Hey, take that, Instagram commenters, you fucks. We've pulled in experts from other shows and channels. We've watched both the theatrical and the director's cut. And let me tell you, buddy, you're going to be surprised about which one is better and which one the director recommends.
Such a Ridley Scott move.
Yeah. Guy's a lad.
And yeah, we've got pages and pages of research because, well, I don't want to give you the impression that we are insecure about covering this movie, that it's a cinematic great, and that we are two very mentally ill men who have full-time jobs, who tried to do a weekly show and then just went, oh, Alien 1979. Yeah, we could just knock that out.
Yeah.
But it is a very busy episode. We're going to have to keep some pace.
All right.
We have got so much to get through. We've got how one man's fuck you attitude and crippling disability led to one of the most enduring sci-fi villains of all time.
We've also got how another man's total inexperience with horror or sci-fi helped him to create the ultimate combination of both.
And how the hypersexual subtext of this 1979 classic might actually be good, clean, Christian fun, Ben.
Yeah, buddy. And then whether this incredible, important, slimy film is actually any fun to watch. We're not insecure about this film. Just in general, cripplingly about everything in general, but this film, confident as shit, mate.
Totally confident. That's why we keep saying it. So I wanted you to cast your mind back, Ben, to 1979, because it was a different time.
Yeah, I remember it fondly.
Sci-fi was a bit shit, mate. You had 2001 A Space Odyssey, which...
You've just made me irrevocably angry, and I'm gonna keep my cool.
Well, look, 2001's A Space Odyssey. You can't even get the fucking year of release right, because it came out in the 70s.
Yeah.
They couldn't even do counting. You had Star Wars A New Hope, arguably the shittest Star Wars.
It's the second shittest of the original trilogy, I'll agree.
Yeah, I meant ever.
Oh, and, rude.
and was joking, it's arguably
good,
one of the better ones.
Because I was about to flip my desk, right?
You had the Andromeda Project, you had stuff like that, but sci-fi was like very foreign, you know, it was stuff that happened over there.
Yeah.
The weirder they could make it, the less relatable they could make it, the better, because that's what the audience wanted. You know,
yeah,
it was very much based in like the 50s thing of like them, or Forbidden Planet, or The Day the Earth Stood Still, right?
I have all of those behind me right now. Like, literally.
So this little fucker comes out on a budget of $11 million.
Ooh!
Yeah, in 1979.
I'm going to guess that 11 million in 1979 money is at least 1.2 billion in today's money, right?
Close.
Yeah.
Really close, actually.
Thank you.
50 mil.
Oh, I was a bee's dick away. You know what I mean?
You really were. You really
were. I was a bee's dick away.
But the good news is you're a little bit closer to what it actually made.
Okay.
Which was 187 million.
Fucking hell. In today's money?
In 1979 money.
Ooh!
Which is 850 mil in 1979
money.
Fuck me, man. So it really, it shined its shoes, you know, it pulled its socks up.
Yeah.
And is widely considered one of the greatest and most influential science fiction and horror films of all time.
Fuck
in fact,
yeah.
In 2002, Alien was deemed culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant by the Library of Congress.
Yes.
And was preserved in the film registry. So we've done a couple of those.
That's incredible.
And in 2008, it was ranked by the American Film Institute as the seventh best film in science fiction.
That's incredible.
I like Alien. I think every movie comes out in a different decade, and every movie reflects that decade so fucking well.
Oh, dude, just unbelievably.
We'll get into it as we get into later episodes of the series, but like, it's uncanny how well these films sum up their decade.
It is fucking incredible. I was exposed to this film far too young. And
I mean, when you say exposed, it really does make it sound like someone behind a bush just opened their jacket and a facehugger jumped out.
I mean, Uncle Terry's not been seen for a while, you know what I mean? Everyone says he lives abroad.
Oh, deep cuts.
But people,
long-term listeners will remember Uncle Terry.
he's a listener favorite at this point, you know what I mean? No, but he's fictional, by the way. I need to point that out for new listeners. Fictional Uncle Terry. My brother had this weird fascination with showing me highly inappropriate films for like a 7-year-old, and would just sort of like...
I mean, that's a kind of sibling thing, right? I did that with my sister. I was like, you like whistling?
Mm.
Little sister, try Hereditary.
Oh yeah, sound. That's a great recommendation though. You know what I mean? That's good sibling. But me and my sister and my nephews and nieces, we used to have a family Friday night where we'd go to Blockbuster.
Nice.
And my sister would let us pick one horror film, and then we'd be able to pick, you know, like a couple of other films as sort of like wishwashes. But we used to spend all week discussing what we were going to get and trying to fuck each other up. You know what I mean? I remember the one week that we picked Alien.
Yeah.
And my sister knew what it was. None of us knew what it was. And we're all sitting on the floor, you know, cuddled around with the pretzels and whatnot. The fucking popcorn that you get from Blockbuster. You know, that cheap shit that tasted like stale butter.
Yeah, the packing peanuts.
Oh, mate, it was that.
They're now used by Amazon to protect vases.
Yeah, the fucking healthy snacks from fucking like 1999, right?
Yeah.
We were sitting around with that, and my sister would periodically just throw a pillow at one of us at one of the pinnacle points, and it was the most torturous thing that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only were we on edge for the film, we were on edge in real life.
Am I going to turn to look at my sister and then just a face hugger cushion is centimeters away from my eyeball?
Yeah, dude, that's exactly it. That is exactly it. Yeah. So, Kaz, if you ever listen to this, thanks, bitch.
Now, listen, there are some people who haven't seen this film. And
who?
Not only are we giving you a spoiler warning, we are going to actively ruin the rest of this episode for you.
Oh, man.
The rest of this episode.
Your life will be worse if you don't watch the film before this. Just putting that one out there.
You're going to ruin the film for yourself, and we're going to ruin the podcast episode for you.
Yeah.
From this point forward, only people who've seen this film will enjoy this podcast. But fortunately, everyone has.
Yeah, everyone's seen this. But if you're the fucking three people in the universe that haven't seen this, and I think those three people died on the Nostromo, just pause the film here. Go and fucking watch it immediately. Theatrical version, then director's cut, then come back to us, because like Rob says, we're not that insecure about the movie knowledge, but we are desperately insecure and want your attention to validate our existence. Please come back. Thank you.
And also maybe the movie knowledge, but let's move on. The breakdown. We're going to break the film down. Here's the jingle.
Yeah.
We're having a breakdown.
I have written this week's, Ben, but it's brief.
Sure.
You kick us off.
Space truck! The USS Nostromo is returning to Earth across the cold expanse of space, its crew all cuddled up and cozy in hypersleep. The autopilot picks up a distress signal and redirects the spacecraft, waking up the crew to enact a rescue on the planet LV-246. They grumble about shite pay, shite regulations, and missing home before suiting up and heading out for a wander in the British weather of LV-246. That is painfully accurate. It's June and people are still wearing fucking coats. Do you know what I mean? What is happening?
Finding a derelict alien craft on the surface is the source of the distress signal. They pop in for a mooch. you know, like a gander, a stroll, an amble, a saunter, and discover...
A gazer.
Yeah, there you go. Discover the interior decorator has set the vibe to full sexy.
Oh.
Organic bone architecture of deeks and vaginas everywhere. Dead pilots grown into their seats and a warehouse of eggs lit by the Who. That's actually true, by the way. The laser hymen covering the eggs was loaned to the film by the band The Who.
The laser...
Hymen.
The laser hymen.
Yeah, the sheet of
the
laser.
The Who's laser hymen. Yes. I violently hate that phrasing.
I'm really glad because I genuinely wrote it specifically for you to hate.
That's made my arms go a little bit T-Rex. The laser hymen. Dirty bastard.
Probably the only time The Who contributed anything worthwhile to culture.
Oh, fuck you. Keith Moon is a fucking hero. We're going to fight after this. We need to do the episode, but fuck you. We're going to fight. Remind me of this later because I'm angry, but I'm also very happy. Let's carry on. Crewmate Kane finds out what killed the cat when he pokes around too much, getting mouth raped by a face-hugging alien, putting him to sleep, and implanting an egg into his fucking chest cavity, unaware of his new reproductive status. The crew rush him back to the Nostromo and try to sort him out. Ellen Ripley fights the captain about whether this should happen, but no one fucking listens, and Science Officer Ash overrides her, letting Patient Zero onto the fucking boat.
See, I think we could have like a shit Avengers that we should start on the podcast. Currently, there are two members.
Sure.
Kane from Alien 1979 and that monkey from Contact. By which I mean Outbreak, but I always get the names of those two films confused, so it's the monkey from Contact.
No, that was very confusing. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if this is a race thing or...
No, Jesus. Aboard the Nostromo, the crew are understandably worried about Kane and his new fashion choices. Discovering that the facehugger has acidic blood capable of eating through multiple floors of the ship and a fondness for non-consensual choking, even rivaling that guy that you now avoid at work.
Oh, no, that took a sharp left turn, man.
Their worry might be misplaced, though. A day or two later, Kane is up and about at breakfast, having a laugh and a giggle and smashing down bowls of space loops. Right before a baby alien smashes his sternum out like the Kool-Aid jug man. We need to do a social clip of just the alien coming out going, oh yeah.
Or doing one where it's sort of like just the Nostromo is silent. And they someone takes a sip and is like, is this Kool-Aid? And everyone's like, no. And he bursts through the wall, goes, oh yeah. And everything just gets sucked out to space.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like mine, we can use the footage from the film and just change the sound effect. Yours might require a VFX department and licensing.
Oh yeah, I've got actors in mind already. Okay, great. I've got actors in mind already. Great. All right.
I mean, the alien clearly didn't like space loops. So. That's...
What follows is an absolute gem of a movie as a crew of overworked space truckers are killed off one by one by a creature that gives zero fucks. This film could have been called Honey Badger in Space with how little of a fuck this creature gives. Ash, the science officer, is outed as not only a corporate shill following company orders to bring the creature back to Earth for research, but a robot made of milk. Fuck you, you've seen this film, you remember. And if you haven't, we did warn you, so fuck you! Go drink the sweet robot milk of confusion!
With most of the crew now dead, Ripley now sets the Nostromo to self-destruct and escapes in a shuttle. She discovers the alien has snuck its way on board and is now watching her undress from a nearby vent, like some sort of Louis C. Kalian. She blows the airlock and blasts our cosmic comedian into space, but the fucker grasps at the thread of no, I asked for consent, I was just too naive to realise you weren't in a position where you felt comfortable to say no. Like that makes masturbating at women you work with acceptable. It doesn't, Louis C. Kalian. Now eat the engine burn of comedy progressing without you. I have gotten hideously sidetracked in this.
To recap, space truckers... To recap, I can't do it. To recap, space truckers meet space fuckers and take a shot in the mouth with science. Badass woman saves the day in her undies.
So Ben, how do you feel that we're covering a film this important in our trademark style?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening. We took so long planning this fucking thing and you were like, don't read the breakdown. I didn't read the fucking breakdown. Wish I would have read the breakdown, if I'm honest with you, buddy. That's all I'm saying. I don't really know what the fuck is going on. But A, I'm going to dive into this one. You ready? Mm. Not only is Alien fucking like culturally important because it essentially changed cinema.
Yeah.
It not only changed cinema, it changed horror, it mm-hmm. changed sci-fi, it changed
it did.
Sigourney Weaver, it changed robot milk. You know what I mean? Like, it's just all of it's now accessible to the masses. I feel like a lot of people talk about it without talking about it because everything that can be said about Alien pretty much has been said.
Yeah.
And what you've cleverly done is you've gone, how did it come to be? How is this fucking important how is this important piece of art? How does it exist in our society today? What does that mean for society today? And I fucking love you for it because it's challenged me in every way, mainly reading, but also
yeah, we've done a lot of reading.
Yeah,
this week.
Fucking blows. Like, I love reading, but fuck me, man, this was like dense.
So I did a lot of reading about Dan O'Bannon. Right, Dan O'Bannon mm-hmm. is a name that all of you should know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do, but there are some that don't. And so bear with us while we share the good word about Dan O'Bannon. Those of you with your chin stroking going, I know about Dan O'Bannon. Dan O'Bannon, he wrote Dark Star, right? He wrote Alien.
Yeah.
He wrote Total Recall. He wrote Return of the Living Dead. He directed Return of the Living Dead.
Such a good film. The Cemetery? Formative years, buddy. Formative
I'm
years.
I'm going to list some names for you, Ben. Ron Howard, sure. Brian Grazer, George Lucas, Bob Gale, Robert Zemeckis, Will Ferrell, and Ray Harryhausen. Where did they all go to college, Ben?
America.
Yes. The USC Cinematic Arts Program.
Fucking nailed it, mate.
One course, and okay. it's produced all of those people and Dan O'Bannon. While Dan O'Bannon was there studying cinematic arts, he met John Carpenter, and they made Dark Star as a student project.
Get in the fucking
It was bit. A 45-minute film. Dan O'Bannon wrote it. He starred in it, Sergeant Pinback. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of the effects, and then...
Sergeant Pinback's Dan O'Bannon?
Yes.
Fucking mint, wrote all right?
Right.
Yeah, right. That's fucking nutty. Okay.
And they were like, okay, we could maybe make something out of this. The university was like, nah, you made it while you're at uni, so it's ours. Dan O'Bannon broke in the middle of the night, stole the footage, shopped it round, got a budget,
Incredible.
Started making a feature film with it, and was very much co-directing with Carpenter. And when the film came out, Carpenter was like, fuck you, the film's mine. I directed it. Stop telling people you directed it. You gave me every note going, but I'm not sharing director yeah. credit with you. And they had a massive falling out, which wasn't a problem because Hodorowski called and went, do you want to make Joan with me?
Wow. Wow.
Now,
well, that's a fucking, do you know what I mean? That's the silver lining right there. Yeah, it might have been a little bit fucked over, but also
right.
Dune. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, that film famously never came out. It Fuck was you. A massive, massive, massive sink of money, huge amounts of concept art. But while he was there, he met
right.
a guy, an artist called Mobius, who'd go on to design on this
yes.
film. And he met H.R. Giger. And he met Ron Shusett. And he met Ron Cobb, who all worked on this film.
Okay.
The creative team of Hodorowski's Dune, basically one-to-one, all get poached by Bannon to work on this film, which he started writing mm-hmm. when he was living homelessly on Ron Shusett's couch.
Fuck.
Because he was so fucking broke
right.
that he had no money. He was living on Ron Shusett's couch, and they started writing together. The only bit of income he had
mm-hmm.
was George Lucas saw Dark Star, liked his work, and said, I need a graphic made for my movie, Star Wars, where there's like a torpedo going down a shaft.
Right.
Remember that scene where they're planning the Death Star run?
Yeah.
Dan O'Bannon did the graphics that appear on screen.
That's I hate this guy so much. He's so fucking right. talented just at every level.
But he hated Dark Star. He thought it didn't
Jesus.
Work. Everyone laughs at something different, but everybody's scared by the same thing. So I'm going to make a horror this time. I'm going to make it scary.
Yeah, I agree. Owls. Everyone's scared by the same thing.
You're scared of owls, Ben. There's a difference.
Everyone's scared of the same thing, Rob. But, you just said it.
But the parallel between this and Dark Star, there's a parallel between this and a couple of things he wrote.
Yeah.
The Dark Star one is very much the workaday, Jobsworth crew.
Right.
For like whom everything, even basic safety protocols, was just too much.
Sorry to interrupt you for a second. Can we just take a moment to chat about the safety protocols?
Oh, fucking, do we have to?
There are safety protocols in place. And if anyone on the Nostromo had fucking followed them or even mildly appreciated the severity of the situation that they were all in, more people would have survived.
Right.
Like, I get it, right? I think it's down to sort of like the shock and the pressure of the situation that causes people to act the way they do here, which is like cunts. And I totally understand it, right? I get it. But just fucking let the smart person talk for a bit, man. Just let her talk. Fuck, just shut up and let the smart person talk, right? There's one person on board who is very clearly invested in the company and following the company's rules and protocols, yes, right?
The job's worth.
There is one person on board that is very clearly one whole bad egg, right? And then there is one person on board that is incredibly intelligent, aware of the safety protocols that everyone fucking ignores.
I've never seen you this worked up about health and safety law.
Listen, man, health and safety posters are up there for a fucking reason. You think Kosh are happy with Alien? You think Kosh are just watching it going, yeah, that seems fine?
That's OSHA for our US listeners.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot. You think OSHA are fine with this? No, they're fucking right.
I love the idea of teenage Ben, and I always pictured him with an Ellen Ripley poster above his wall, and I now realize it was a 10 ways to minimize harm in the workplace poster.
Oh, 1,000%. And then there was pamphlets of bleach safety. There was small symbols of like corrosive materials littered about my room. You should have seen it. It was fantastic.
Because you're autistic as fuck. You love a symbol.
Oh, mate, you wouldn't believe it. You would not believe it, buddy. Well, the one with the hand and the acid? That would have been handy in this film.
Something very clever about this film, I think, is that on first watch, which I can't remember my first watch. I was a child. I remember being turned on and terrified and just all of it in one
package. Oh, yeah. Dude, it shaped my entire life.
But rewatching it, it's aware, you're really aware of how much the captain is made the main character.
Yeah.
Until he fucking dies. It's a proper rug pull.
Yeah.
You're not expecting Ellen Ripley to be the main character. She's the side character.
She's the one that's throwing the spanner in the works and going, I don't think you should bring that man who obviously has a fucking alien on his face into the ship. That's not a very fun thing to do. And everyone's like, shut up, woman. Like, you can vote. Jesus. Just let us bring our mate in with his alien on his face, you fucking bitch.
1979, Ben. That's how it was.
I don't know. Is stuff still black and white then? I don't know. When did colour happen?
I mean, judging by this film, 1978 at least.
There's something incredibly satisfying, though, about seeing the one very intelligent person navigate her way through not only dealing with a hostile alien species that seems to just kill for fun / sport, like just fucking loves that shit, you know what I mean? But she also has to navigate the deep, deep, murky trenches of the fucking stupidity minefields. And then, buddy, she survives with her emotional support cat and just fucking drifts off into the space. It's fucking glorious to watch. It's like, as it's going, as each person dies, I'm like, your fault! Your fault! Your fault! And then when she escapes, I'm like, your fault. Fucking yes, that's your fault. Good shit.
I'm surprised to see that you were such a fan of capital punishment, where people make minor mistakes and you're like, and then they get murdered by a space rapist.
Dude, look at how severely I punish myself for my mistakes. Okay, like, yeah, I'm still struggling to forgive myself for stealing Skittles from the local quick save.
Yeah.
And how long has it been since it's a quick save?
I mean, they did go out of business, Ben, so...
Yeah, about 19 years ago, and I'm still reeling with it. Yeah, I'm like, maybe...
Maybe because they lost all that money on them Skittles.
Yeah, maybe if cunts didn't fucking pocket a bag of Skittles on the way out every single time they went in there 3 times a day for about a year. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. No wonder I was hyperactive, couldn't have E-numbers, because I was fucking living on them.
That's the most British story ever. That's,
yeah, I know.
Like, the only part of this movie that I can imagine Ridley Scott telling that story, because he is British.
I just got a reaver. Yeah, so when I was a kid, I used to pocket a bag of Skittles 3 times a day just because I grew up poor. It was hyperactive. I wasn't allowed any numbers. But then I found a cat in space and fucked up an alien. All right,
that's
then,
lovely,
sunshine.
Mr. Scott, but we do need to know what's happening with this next shot.
Yeah, all right. Well, Skittles, anyone? Ridley Scott's a lad, man. I've done some research on Ridley Scott, right?
Ooh.
So you've done Dan O'Bannon, And I knew that you were doing Dan O'Bannon, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to look into him at all. I want to be surprised. Ooh. And then I thought I'd go and look into Ridley Scott. That cunt story is epically long. And I was like, I'm going to skim this, and I'm going to do the bit that's before Alien. So
proud.
Yeah, right? Thanks, man. I'm trying. I'm working. I'm getting there. When Ridley Scott had finished his feature debut, mm-hmm. The Duelists, and he was shopping it around in LA,
yep.
His buddy, who's a producer, David Putnam, invited him to go watch 20th Century Fox's new sci-fi movie. Bear in mind, this is like a 2 p.m. showing, so yeah. You're like, oh, okay, you know, ooh, a nice little daytime yeah. cinema trip, whatever
it is.
Exactly. Ridley Scott came out of that screening having heard about it. Obviously, it was filmed a lot in London. Star Wars was filmed a lot in London. Right, the movie was Star Wars. Probably should have said that, right? I'm skipping ahead. Fuck you. This is my research. Welcome to my world. Star Wars was filmed in London, so Ridley had heard a lot about it and was like, ah, fuck it. I should probably go and see what it was all about. You know what this means. And he said that he has never seen audience participation like what happened in that theater.
Because this is before The Room came out, so the Rocky Horror.
This is before The Room.
He's just,
this is before any of that, right? So this is the OG
nice.
People jumping up and down in their seats, losing their fucking minds, screaming at the screen, right? Yep. He says he's never seen anything like it. After having a good time in France with The Duelists, Ridley Scott was thinking about doing Tristan. I'm going to struggle on the second name. I'm going to butcher this.
Isolde.
Oh, thank you. He was thinking of doing Tristan and...
Isolde.
Isolde. Yeah. Good. You passed that test. Well done, buddy. He was thinking of doing Tristan and Isolde for his next film. And now after the Star Wars screaming, he immediately changed his mind. Was a direct quote is, why am I even considering doing Tristan and Isolde when this guy's doing this kind of movie?
I mean, he's got a fair point. Why would anyone consider this? Oh, Germanic exactly. folklore, lovely.
Well, I had a great shot with The Duelist, you know, some fencing cunts in France. Let's all, you know what I mean? Let's just work our way across Europe here. The Star Wars stopped Ridley in his tracks.
Yeah.
He was massively depressed for 3 months, but then he got incredibly competitive. But he did say that when he gets depressed after watching a movie, it's the biggest form of flattery because he's like, I need to do better. Mm-hmm. That's breaking me a little bit here. The Duelists went on to win Best New Work at Cannes Festival.
A few months after this screaming.
Clap, clap, tiny scarf moment. Let's go. Fucking Nolan's penis has just pricked up somewhere. He's like, who's talking about Cannes?
It's Cannes, actually, Ben.
Oh, sorry, Cannes. My bad. Oh. The Duelists struggled to pick up a distributor, mm-hmm. so, you know, barely had an opening. But then out of the blue came a script for Alien.
Mm.
And Ridley Scott is still baffled at how someone sees The Duelists at Cannes and thinks, yep, this is the guy for Alien.
I can tell you how. Do you want to know how?
Kinda.
So this was nearly a Roger Corman movie. Roger Corman was a big
movie. Oh, fuck you. No, fuck you. Right? Fuck you. No, this is after. This is after. Fuck you. No, because I... Fine, Rob! I'll cut my research short and you can give us a fucking bit at the end, all right?
No, you go.
I'm going to do it, but you need to come back with this point because it's my last point, but you can take it because I love you. Look at that face. Fucking gorgeous. Star Wars being such a fucking huge success, 20th Century Fox were desperate to get more shit out. Mm-hmm. Outer Space Adventures, they were greenlit as fast as possible. They were like, we need to get a fucking film out right now. Yep. Let's go. I keep calling him Ripley. Ridley. This, my entire research, he's named Ripley Scott.
Fucking hell.
I've really just noticed.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, man, I'm broken. Ridley was number 5 on the list of directors to make this film.
Right.
And he accredits it to the film, as the script essentially going, and then. And then at some point it says, and then an alien bursts out of a chest cavity and escapes into the ship. And he was like, I guarantee that is where the first 4 directors put the script down and went, it's not for me.
I mean, he's probably right. He's probably very, very right. This was going to be a B-movie. It was always intended to be a B-movie. That's why Dan O'Bannon and Ron Shusett were talking to Corman. But Brandywine Productions had just set up and they saw the script and they're like, what if... we just funded this fucking B movie to the point where we could just give it to audiences and tell them it's an A movie and the audiences won't notice.
Yeah, 1,000%.
And then, you know, a little bit of a hand clap at Cannes Festival, he's going to lend some credibility.
It's pronounced Cannes, actually.
Yeah, there we go. I set him up.
I heard that recently. Yeah,
nice. But I was coming over, I was bridging the divide. I was saying it your way.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, man.
But I think Ridley Scott lent credibility to the project, you know? Oh, he's popular at Cannes, don't you know? It's going to be an art film with Giger and Mobius.
Ooh, okay.
My favorite Ridley Scott quote, though, is fucking brilliant. Ridley Scott had never seen horror movies, right?
Yeah.
Dan O'Bannon had to sit him down and show them to him. Because he felt it was important that the man directing the horror movie he'd written for years had maybe seen one before.
Yeah, yeah, of course. That would make sense.
Right, Ridley hadn't, because he was quoted as saying, my parents classified horror films as sex films.
They're not far off. I mean,
right,
everything Barbara Crampton touches is a sexy film.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So Bannon was getting him to watch stuff, and Ridley was kind of bouncing off him until Bannon was like, right, Texas Chainsaw, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the producers, Walter Hill, walks in behind Ridley when he's watching Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah.
And Walter Hill's like, what are you watching these films for? And Ridley turns around and goes, I'm here to scare people. So watch it or fuck off. And I just love the idea of young Ridley Scott, right? With his spooky videos and a frown just going, I'ma learn. I'ma learn how to make the best of a genre I've never fucking watched.
Yeah, dude, what a fucking lad.
And someone coming in going, what are you doing? And him going, I'm trying to learn, so fuck off.
Yeah.
Get out, cunt.
Yeah, mint.
But Texas Chainsaw, man, what a reference.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking incredible. Obviously, it's all implied violence, right? It's a very slow burn, it's implied violence, but the villains are fucking treacherous. They present themselves as sort of like something to be inquisitive about, like a study almost, right, you know what I mean? What's a different way of life? Oh, this, that, and the other. Now, doesn't that seem familiar when someone's fingering a fucking egg underneath a laser hymen, as some evil cunt called it earlier? Isn't that reminiscent of that? You know
what
I mean?
To get an illustrator to illustrate Louis C.K.lian.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just the xenomorph with a mic and a mic stand, and it just says, Louis C.K.lian. Fingering an egg underneath a laser hymen.
Ooh, I'm going to go one better. Right. I'm going to make two t-shirts. I'm actually going to make these ones, right? I'm going to do 10 of each. I'm going to do one that's Louis C.K.lian. It's just Louis C.K.'s face poorly cut out and poorly placed on a xenomorph's face.
Is this next to Sean Swannery?
Oh, this is on the same branch. You know what I mean? Like, our merch is looking pretty fucking fit right now, buddy. You know what I mean? Waiting for the drop, 2027. I'm going to do another one that just says Laser Hymen, and it's going to have a picture of Roger Daltrey shining a laser pen. Out of context, that's going to be the most outrageous fucking thing ever. But
it's
anyway.
Going to be fantastic. I love it.
So Texas Chainsaw is all implied violence.
Yep.
It's all implied. There's no direct blood on screen. It's all, you know, at a distance. Mm-hmm. It's fucking terrifying. The chase scenes are all sort of, they leave a lot of it to your imagination.
Yep.
And the one thing that I love about Alien is the alien's not that scary if you take it away. Put different music underneath every scene with a xenomorph and it's not that scary. But it's the implication of the human characters surrounding the xenomorph where you're like, oh my God, what do I do? What the fuck do I do?
You see the characters
and it's that
be scared.
Dread that fills
and
you.
Therefore, you're scared. It's the same thing we always say about Jurassic Park versus Jurassic World. In Jurassic Park,
the
characters on screen are shitting themselves.
Yes.
And in Jurassic World, they're skipping about doing magic hand
in
front of the velociraptors. And you're like, well, you're not scared, so why am I? In this film, everyone's knickers are wet. For the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
All the right reasons.
For the wrong reasons.
Everyone's knickers are wet.
It depends on where you stay. But the thing is, right, Ridley Scott took inspiration from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Now, Star Wars is the romantic version of space. It's what people like to imagine, you know,
it's big, fantastical.
Cultured expanse. It's very fantastical. There's like Wild West frontiers with bars and criminals and smugglers and stuff like this.
Look how different this is to your everyday.
And then he took inspiration from 2001 A Space Odyssey,
right.
And that is the reality of space.
The mundanity.
The mundane. Yeah. The fucking stretching endlessness that is space, right? So he had this thing where he could sort of play around and invent. And what he made is he had a story. Instead of revolving around space or revolving around a thick plot, he had a story revolving around a monster.
Yeah.
And he wanted to make a completely relatable yet horrific version of space. So it's the space that you know. You've seen it before.
Yeah.
But through this lens, you can be like, oh, I know truckers.
Yeah, I know truckers.
I know driving down a motorway. Yeah. That's fucking boring. There's nothing to look at. Exactly. I'm on a shit wage too. Me and my buddy wish we had more fucking pay at the end of the month. But then also, there is a hulking monster just off screen that you're never quite sure is there or not.
Yeah, and it's the
worst fucking thing that exists, but the best fucking way to make a horror.
Yeah, it's incredible.
The best way.
It's so, so good. All
right, I've got another question for you.
Oh, okay.
So in the past, we've discussed at length trying to find the wettest film.
Yeah, so it started with Frankenstein, the Kenneth Branagh version of Frankenstein, because there's a lot of goop in that.
Very wet film.
And then I think we ended up with Dunkirk being the wettest film, right?
It's very ocean-based. Mm. There's a lot of wet.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wet. There's not so much goop.
No.
There's a bit of goop.
Yeah.
But not a lot of goop. It's mainly wet. But I feel like we've overlooked Alien. So would you put Alien in consideration for the wettest film of all time? Because everything in this film is wet.
Well, okay. Let me have a think. We can consider it, but I think it's going to be a brief consideration. Because this is far from the wettest film in this franchise. Ridley Scott isn't even the wettest director in this franchise.
Yeah, because I guess.
You've got James Cameron, who's got Titanic
of course.
And The Abyss. And Avatar 2, The Way of Water. He might get the award for wettest director.
But not like wettest director, which is like...
Christopher Nolan.
Don't be a wetter. No, I think Nolan's ballsy as fuck, man. Who drives a train through New York?
Yeah, fair. But it could be... Okay, Slimy, I could give you. Because...
Okay. Yeah, right, the slimiest film I could go for.
The design is sort of famously... Anyone, even people who haven't seen this film, know that the monster is designed by H.R. Giger. And I kind of looked at the original design. It's really, really heavily based, this monster, on a drawing called Necronom 4, which is in his book, The Necronomicon. In that painting, it has eyes, hilariously.
Yes.
They were removed when Ridley Scott, in a moment of frustration looking at the model, put a bucket on its head. And Giger, not realizing that it was just an expression of his frustration, thought it was like a creative move. And he was like, oh, no eyes. Yes. Very good. Very good.
I actually have some test footage of when the Xenomorph had eyes and they shot
with
a scene.
With lights in it.
No, not with the lights in it. They shot a scene without the lights. And it's worse. It's far worse. It's goofy as shit. Way worse than a Xenomorph. If I woke up in the middle of the night and had the Xenomorph as we know it at the end of my bed, I'd be like, oh shit, I'm dead.
Yeah.
If I woke up and saw the test footage Xenomorph at the bottom of my bed, I'd be like, I'm fucking haunted. What is happening to me right now? And I would probably kill myself out of fear. Like that would be the thing.
I like the no eyes because there's that whole like eyes the window to the soul thing, and that it hasn't got eyes because it hasn't got a fucking soul. Do you know what I mean?
That's fucking beautiful.
It's
I was not expecting that in this episode, buddy. That just hit me square in the tits. Good for you.
But that whole thing of like, well done. It's not, you can't relate. It's not, if you give it eyes, I'm then thinking about its intention and its thought process and its, nah, it's eyeless. It's not here for your fucking wishes and thoughts. It's here to murder.
It's also like, we understand evolution to a point that eyes on the front of a face is sort of like a predatory move, right?
Yeah. Which is why Mr. Tumble's got the reputation he does, because children's insane in Mr. Tumble, clear predator.
Yeah. Eyes on the front of his face. Yeah.
Yeah, like Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah.
No.
Murderous.
Giga maintained for years that the Necronomicon, the book that this Necronom 4 drawing is in, was a conversation with his therapist. He used to get a lot of sexual nightmares, and his therapist suggested that he draw or paint what he saw as a way to work through it.
Okay.
So the creature, by virtue of its designer, kind of embodies the sexual threat. We all know that.
Right.
But it's all in the writing. It's all in the writing because Chousset and O'Bannon, from the start, wanted to make it a sex metaphor, wanted to make it a terrifying...
Like Species, but 20 years before.
Yeah. Okay. And so he had a script called They Bite, which was one of the ones that he was working on, which is about spacemen finding... finding like ancient locusts that would reproduce inside somebody. And they could, he was like, I can't find a way to get them inside the ship. And then Chousset woke up one day and he's like, what if it fucks one of them?
Wow.
Right?
What about if our locust fucks a person?
Right, exactly. And then so O'Bannon's got this great quote. He's like, I thought with a little effort in that direction, I could turn it to a very disturbing purpose. I came up with the notion of homosexual rape, and I thought I could really get under the audience's skin by having this creature perform rape on a male astronaut. I knew damn well how touchy male audiences are on the subject of homosexuality and male rape in general, and I was surprised at the critical reaction to the film that no one mentioned that. There was plenty of opportunity for critics to notice that the form of attack the alien took was sexual, that it thrusts a phallus down the man's throat. I thought about it and realized it was a case of cognitive dissonance. It was so bothersome to them that they couldn't face it. They blocked it out. It was too disturbing to acknowledge intellectually, but it was part of what made the alien a disturbing, frightening thing. I didn't want to have female rapes by the alien because I thought that was common, obvious, and vicious. Filmmakers for a long time have enjoyed brutalizing their female characters, the prettier the better. And to me, that was a cheap shot. I didn't want to go that way. Instead, I wanted to go after the men in the audience who are the victimizers.
Fuck. That's like Mad Max 1 though, right? Did a similar thing.
Right.
Cheeky Miller throws in a little bit of a man running away with a bloody arsehole.
There you go. Right. It's that vibe. So when you say, is this the slimiest film ever? I would say possibly because the antagonist is the slimiest of us all. Space rapists.
Ooh, buddy, you are poetic today. Are you all right? Did you eat a fucking Robert Burns book before this episode? What are we doing? Get me going with this one, man. I might go fucking watch it again. I've got one more question for you, buddy.
Ooh, okay.
It's a little bit out of left field. I feel like we've done a lot, you know, behind the scenes on the alien now. So this one, I just wanted to ask. Do you think the Judeo-Christian community enjoyed the biblical allegory of Alien?
Fucking what?
Just a fun little jaunt. You know what I mean?
Okay.
A little geezer.
I mean, you know, Ben, I mean? I'm very proud. I'm very proud of this amble.
Thanks, man.
This meander.
Thanks. This so promenade. My little meander. So obviously, obviously everyone who's seen Alien.
I'm well happy with this.
Thanks, man.
Oh, it's like I've been rubbing off on you. Figuratively, not, you know. Sure. We don't live in the
same
town.
Too far for that. Yeah, not anymore. And for why? You slimy bastard.
Cain and Abel, bring it. So because Cain?
Because Cain. So everyone knows the story of Cain and Abel, right?
Right.
And everyone who's seen Alien has been sort of like, they know who Cain is.
For those of you who don't know who Cain and Abel are, they're the biblical brothers, and Cain kills Abel and God punishes him for it.
Yeah, he punishes his bloodline. His bloodline suffer. So obviously he dies and then his bloodline carries on, but they also suffer, right? So in Alien, Cain is the one that gets impregnated with the facehugger, right? By the facehugger. Yeah. And Cain births his son, which is the fucking chest bursting scene. The alien pops out of his chest. He's birthed his son. So he's died, right? Yep. Now, we don't know for what sins in this film, but he's died. And now his son is carrying on and his bloodline is now tortured.
Right.
Because even Ash refers to the xenomorph as Cain's son, as if it is like a well-known little cheeky jibe.
I hadn't clocked that little bit. Jibe.
No, I mean, so my question to you is, what do you think Cain's sin was? Do you think he killed his brother Abel? Or, I don't know, maybe disabled his brother?
Did he disable his brother? Okay, right, yeah. See, I thought the biblical thing you were going to bring up, that this is a very pro-choice film.
No.
Right.
It's 2024, man. You know what I mean? It's why is this even still a discussion?
Well, I wrote a load of jokes on the subject because abortion jokes never get old.
Yeah. Oh my days, that's a fucking edit right
there.
Are
we deciding not to keep them?
That's an edit. Get out. When's your vasectomy? We need to get these fucking jokes out of you, man. Just get the snip already.
No. You know Twilight with like genuinely, I'm moving on to my point.
Sure, okay.
You know Twilight, this all staying in by the way. You know Twilight with the bite being a sexual thing, right? And the sex metaphor is in
sure.
this.
Sure.
Like Cain literally just raw dogs an egg.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like he's pro abortion franchise, and I think the Judean Christian community don't watch these films. I think they
His sin was? Do you think his sin was aborting the egg, and that's why he
got fucking face fucked? That's where I was getting to, you punchline thief.
Oh, sorry, man. You want to do this bit again? We can just edit all this out. You know, the horrendously offensive jokes. We can do all that. That's fine.
No, I'm keeping them. Why? Do you want me to get rid of them, Ben?
Nah. I think Cain's sin was shoplifting.
Shoplifting, space shoplifting.
Yeah, skills from the space quicksave. Famously also went out of business from people seeing skills. Final question for you, mate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's going to have to be final, mate. We have We have burned our time. We have, like,
We've been doing all the serious shit. I bought nothing but goofy shit, but because this has been mad interesting, you've been a weird little poet all day, getting me all weirdly excited.
I feel like we've covered about 6% of the research that we've done, and we're just, it's fine. We'll get to it in later episodes.
Speak for yourself, mate. I've overburned on mine. Do you know what I mean? I might have made up a couple sentences. Fucking find them. See you on Instagram, commenters. Fuck you. My final question, mate.
Yeah.
I know that this is an important film. Mm-hmm. I know it redefines both sci-fi and horror. And I know that it is a huge cult classic.
Yes.
But did you enjoy watching it? Did you enjoy the experience?
I very much did, with one notable exception, which is that the effects look just as gorgeous as the day I first saw them. The acting is just as precise.
Yep.
But fuck me, the on-set audio is just as unintelligible as it ever has been. The scenes
Bro, try watching it on VHS from a tiny CRT TV.
Oh, Ben, you watched it on VHS. Bless your heart.
It's the only place I could get the fucking theatrical version. Like, I had to watch it like four fucking times.
Have an internet connection.
But I'm also fucking like technophobic. I don't know how this shit works. Someone asked me about Snapchat the other day and I was like, what?
God.
I'm 30 fucking five.
Yeah, that's why you don't know about Snapchat, Ben. Stay off there, okay?
I'm not ever going near it.
Don't promise me you'll never get Snapchat. Okay, good. Good, 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 good. You'll get groomed. Yeah, no.
I'll be in a Ponzi scheme by the end of the week. Do you know what I mean? If I give you £100, I get £200 back.
Wow.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. The audio is challenging, but subtitles, lots of people watch movie with subtitles, and this is one that I would argue benefits from it. Yourself, okay. I'm assuming this was just full on tented boxes.
I love the film. I love rewatching it. I love the place that it takes me to. I love the nostalgia that it brings. I am so violently uncomfortable throughout the whole film watching this. It's unreal. I know exactly what's going to happen at what points. But the two versions of this film, mate, so the theatrical release, I like a little less because it's more punishing. It punishes the audience a lot more, right? So the pace is slower, but it's more deliberate and it's very intent.
Yeah.
The director's cut, it's a little bit choppier. It's a little bit speedier.
Yeah.
You know, you get through it a little bit quicker. There's also a few extra scenes, like the cocooning scene, which makes sense. If you haven't seen either of the releases, go fucking watch them now. Why are you still listening, cunt? Go fucking listen.
If you've not seen it, this isn't for you. Go leave.
Go fucking listen.
Leave.
No, don't listen. Go watch and then come listen. There we go. So the director's cut is great. It's faster. It's not as punishing. It's more enjoyable watch. It's an enjoyable experience.
Yes.
And if you ask Ridley Scott which one you should watch or which one he prefers, bear in mind it's his director's cut.
Yeah.
He says the theatrical cut.
What a cock. What
absolute
a cock.
Lad. Like, he's made a film and he's like, yeah, it's fine. I'll do my cut now. Yeah, it's better, but watch the theatrical one.
Right.
Because it punishes you more.
I mean,
slower, more full of dread.
Okay.
Enjoy it.
I mean, I'm hoping he does a director's cut of Napoleon that's not 4 hours long and shit, but I think he'd have to reshoot about 2 hours worth of it.
I haven't seen Napoleon.
And have the entire 2 hours. Hey, mate, don't bother.
Yeah, I've heard this from people that don't even watch films. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay.
Now, we've got a special guest this week.
We do?
We reached out to somebody that we respect an awful lot, Alien the Eighth Passenger on Instagram.
Okay.
Go find him. Instagram.com/AlienTheEighthPassenger. Their content is insane. And they know way more about this franchise.
This is the guy that you sent me. I fucking love this guy.
Yeah.
He's doing stuff for this episode.
He's part of our Ask the Expert segment.
Okay, when you say that we reached out to someone, I've got no fucking clue on this one. All right?
Says a lot. And
yeah, I was too busy reading about Ridley fucking Scott all week, bud.
Overburn the research, though.
I wrote down like 9 sentences, like, but I read a lot.
But we asked them to just, we said, look, we'll give you a minute or two of our show. Just give us your thoughts. And this is what they sent in.
Wacko.
I wasn't asking you, Carducci. I was asking the expert.
Hi, friends from Every Movie Ever. Alien the Eighth Passenger here. Thank you so much for having me in your show, especially to talk about my love for the Alien saga. Well, it all started in 1979 when a little-known director, Ridley Scott, was commissioned to work on a somewhat abandoned sci-fi project that got a revival thanks to the massive success of Star Wars. But what no one knew was that this film would redefine the genre of science fiction and horror forever. Due to Scott's vision, Alien became a source of inspiration for many directors. It excelled in all aspects, from its claustrophobic atmosphere and an original story by Dan O'Bannon, to captivating performances, incredible design and practical effects by the one and only H.R. Giger. He also introduced the Xenomorph, one of the most iconic creatures in cinema, which continues to inspire new generations of artists to this day. And let's not forget Ellen Ripley, brilliantly performed by Sigourney Weaver, who became the most important female action role model of all time. What I love most about this movie is probably its tone. I mean, there are many sci-fi and horror movies, but the tension this one creates is unmatched. The music, the direction, and the performances come together masterfully to give us a unique experience that has never been replicated. Because you know what they say, guys. In space, no one can hear you scream.
Thank you so fucking much for that, buddy.
So go check them out. They are absolutely incredible. Alien the Eighth Passenger on Instagram. We've been following them forever now, and we love them. We love them.
We fucking do.
And we'll probably hear from them again later in the series if I can
reach out to them,
convince them.
If we can reach out to them, before, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
As if, we if famously do.
Yeah. As we famously do. Let's rate the movie, but before we do, I want to see, we've got a couple things we need in Comic Corner, and then I want to see what kind of Xenomorph you are, because I've got a quiz.
Ooh.
That says, what kind of Xenomorph are you?
Yes, buddy! If I don't get Queen, I'm going to be fuming.
I mean, pretty sure you're going to get Screaming Queen. We got a fantastic email. Those of you who listen regularly will remember that we got an email from a listener a couple of episodes ago about them going through a similar thing that we're going through, you know, career collapse, mental collapse, whatever it is, struggle.
Was it Joe?
They were Joe.
Joe.
And Joe was gonna. Joe was gonna start. We love Joe. We were like, Joe, start a podcast.
Yeah.
We got a great message.
Shut the door.
Hi Ben and Rob. Thank you for reading my last email on the podcast. It totally derailed my walk around Tesco in Ashby, but that's not a bad thing.
Okay.
Sorry, mate. You're right. I should check before I read these out.
I told you, man.
Yeah. Well, didn't do that this time either. I'm doing it. I'm starting the podcast. Now, this is the bit everyone needs to listen to. Champions of Cinema will soon be coming in your ear holes.
Joe's doing it.
He's doing it.
Champions of Cinema.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, buddy. Get in touch. Get on the fucking show, man.
So you heard about it here first. We are going to give Joe everything we can in terms of support.
Yeah.
Like what programs to use, that kind of stuff. And we'll get it going. So we will start supporting that now.
Yeah.
And yeah, happy days.
Fucking awesome, man. Joe, super fucking happy that you're starting it up, bud. Incredibly proud of you. Huge first step. Love you immensely. Get in touch. Come on the fucking show.
The last order of business is Comment Corner, the section that we are in now.
Mm-hmm.
It needs a jingle. It needs something to just announce it so we know, right?
It needs a fucking jingle,
so,
man.
If you can send us to our email, everyeverpodcastuk@gmail.com, or on our Discord, or on our socials, just a 3 or 4 second long clip of you insulting us. I want to make a stack of all the voices of our listeners, and I'll just a big burst of all of you just saying what's on your mind for 3 or 4 seconds. Because they'll be stacked, you won't be able to pick out an individual voice. There's safety in numbers. The zebras taught us that.
And, 1,000%, buddy.
And we'll just
There's no limits on this one either.
No.
No limits here. You want to call us cunts? Fucking scream it from the rooftops, buddy. That shit just turns me on. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Do you want to play a game?
I would. Do you mind if I quickly hop in on Comment Corner? Because I have two that I would very much like to read out. I'll keep it quick. So our very dear friends over at Control Alt Critique, they have recently just dropped an episode on Alien also.
Have they?
It's a very fun episode, yeah?
What?
They released it 3 days before us, so technically we're copying them. Thanks!
Absolute bastards.
It's fantastic though. It's so annoyingly good. I listened to it and I was like, fucking hell, this is a great episode.
Oh.
But what I've done is I reached out to them.
Just let me know, I'd have listened to it and just stolen all their research.
I reached out to them and I was like, can each of you send me just sort of like a one... just a one line summation of the of Alien 1979.
Yeah.
And Amber, one of the co-hosts from Control Alt Critique, got back to me immediately and was like, yes, I'd fucking love to. This is incredible. Okay, here it is. And she sent me the sentence. Alien serves up a haunting feast of cosmic terror that sparked my love of cinema.
Lovely.
Awesome. Incredible to hear. Great to know. Now, Adam Smart sent me a message saying, sleepy idiot man gets 2 inches away from a clearly evil meat egg. Everyone ignores health and safety procedures. Death. Which is fantastic. Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Thank you, buddy.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And then Andy Bailey, third co-host, hasn't sent me anything. So thanks, buddy. I love you too. I see that man at the gym at least 3 times a week, right?
Sometimes you just say it best when you say nothing at all.
Oh,
you
know? That's heartbreaking, but thanks.
I meant him, not you.
Oh.
Because he didn't put anything in.
Perspectives.
Oh my God.
Right. I see now. Jesus. And that's it for Comment Corner. If you want to be on next week's Comment Corner, reach out. Discord, email, fucking
Instagram.
Post. Yeah. I don't know. Send us some shit.
Yeah.
You said about a game.
Do you want to know what kind of xenomorph you are?
I would fucking love to, buddy.
Right, okay.
Nothing else in my life matters more than this right now.
Right, okay. It's a multiple choice quiz. There's not many questions.
Oh, do it. Let's go.
If you were in a kingdom, what would you be? One of the townspeople, one of the guards, the scribe, the king, the second in command, or the queen?
Queen.
Wow, okay.
Sign me up.
Right, okay.
I've got a goal in mind that I'm going to fucking answer me to get me there. Right, let's go. Okay, queen. Yeah, yeah.
What personality fits you best? Loyal, revengeful, excellent swimmer, smart, sneaky, strong. Excellent swimmer is not a personality.
Excellent swimmer. That's a great personality trait. I'd say loyal.
Loyal. Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm loyal to a fault sometimes.
Nice. If you could have an ability, what would it be? Intelligence or being smart? Being a great swimmer? Being popular? Being strong? Being sneaky? Or to get revenge on anyone that hurt you in a way? This is the same question as the last one.
I think it's the same question. Yeah, because I don't think being a good swimmer is a good ability, right? Because I feel like I've got at least 5 frosty swimming badges somewhere. You know what I mean? It's not a special ability, really. That's just a basic skill set. What were the options? What was the first one?
I mean, it's not relevant to you.
The first one. Just do the first one.
Intelligence, being smart. You've asked what the answers are 3 times.
Yeah, that one.
Right. Be a great swimmer. Could you be popular? Could you be sprung? Could you be sneaky? Could you get revenge?
No, the intelligence one. Do that one. Okay. That would be my special ability.
Aspirational. What would you like to do the most? Right? Just being lazy, looking outside the window, thinking about every horrible moment in your past, sneak up on everyone, working out, or watch TV, movies, and play video games.
Oh, yeah, obviously the last one. What the fuck?
Yeah. Between that one and thinking about every horrible moment in your past, you kind of do both.
Yeah, that's like simultaneous. Yeah. But also, if you would have said swim a lot, I would have flipped my fucking desk. Like, I swear to God.
What was your favorite subject in school? PE, maths,
if swimming is an answer, I'm actually going to fucking flip my desk, mate.
Social studies, language arts.
Say them again.
PE, maths, music class, science, social studies, or languages?
Music.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm having to check them beforehand to make sure there's no swimming based. Last one. What do you like to do while at school? Be talkative, boss everyone around, be bored and fall asleep, pick on everyone, get into fights, or sneak up on someone and give them a heart attack?
God, that's so creepy. That's the creepiest answer. Whoever's picked sneaky for every single one of these,
right,
check their fucking basement. You know what I mean? This might be like an FBI sting. Whoever picked sneaky on all of them, they're like, knock, knock. Hello. Did you just take a quiz? What were they?
You need me to listen again, don't you, Ben?
Was there a class clown one? I was just dicking about. What's dicking about?
Be talkative, boss everyone around, be bored and fall asleep, pick on everyone, get into fights, or sneak up on someone and give them a heart attack.
Talkative, I guess. I just used to get stoned a lot in school to chat shit to people instead of doing anything.
You ready for your result?
Yeah.
Okay. It takes a while to load. You are...
Go.
Autistic.
Yes, buddy. The autistic xenomorph, you know what I mean? No. I'll hunt you down, but my DVDs are in order.
You got warrior.
Ew.
You are a You are strong and a great swimmer.
Why are you swimming a thing? I didn't pick that once.
The warrior is one of the primary assault organisms of the species. It is fast, tough, and a savage combatant. Even in death, the warrior is dangerous, bursting apart when killed and drenching nearby enemies in acid. These types of warriors are created by infecting humans, also known to be excellent swimmers.
Why the fuck is swimming a thing? I did not pick. Did you put a swimming answer in there?
No.
Why the fuck is swimming a thing? I'm furious. How do you get queen? Send me the link. I'm gonna go through every answer until I get queen, because that's fucking mad annoying. Warrior? I'm built like a Dutch schoolboy. Warrior?
All right, let me quickly blast through mine. I would be...
Come on.
Right, I'd be the scribe. What the personality fuck's a scribe? Fits me best? Someone who writes shit down.
Ew.
I would be revengeful. if I could have an ability, what would it be? It would be...
Swimming. No, if you don't pick swimming, I'm going to fucking slap you.
All right, swimmer. Yeah, great. I'm going to swimmer.
Yeah, get those Frosties badges, buddy.
What do I like to do the most? Think about every horrible moment in my past. The swim's not on there.
Oh, fuck you.
What's my favourite subject in school?
Swimming.
Language. There wasn't swimming.
Ew.
What do I like to do at school? Be bored and fall asleep.
Swim.
I got warrior. I'm strong and a great swimmer.
Fuck this quiz, man. Fuck this quiz. Will, what? There were different answers. You picked swimming.
I did, yeah.
Quiz is shit. Did I win? I don't know what. Is this a win? Is this a game? I don't feel like this is a game.
You're a warrior, Ben. You're a warrior.
I'll fight through. All right. I'll fight through.
Just before we rate the film, Ben, how are you doing, bud? We've got to the end of the episode. We've got one more thing to do. To let the people know what we think of this film. Shock, shock.
Okay.
Horror. I wonder what we'll put. How are you doing?
after that quiz, it's dropped 2 fucking points. Hate this franchise. I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. It's been a long couple months, if I'm being honest with you. It's been up and down, sort of weird panic attacks, learning how to fucking live my life again.
Yeah. The heart thing, genuinely, I was like, it's either panic attacks or it's like arrhythmia and he's going to die.
Yeah, so the heart thing's calming down a bit now, which is nice. But then I think it's a lung thing, not a heart thing. I don't know what it is, but it feels like my chest is a bit in a vice, but not all the way.
You've got 2 of those though, so that's...
That's what I mean. It's half the bother now. So who gives a fuck? You know what I mean?
Nice.
One shit's the bed, I got another. Who gives a fuck? It's like kidneys. You know what I mean? Get over it. Just grow up. Yeah, it's been all right. It's been all right. I'm socializing a little more, getting myself out there a little bit.
Good.
Beautiful friends around me. You are the fucking light of my life at the
moment.
Likewise,
bud.
You keep me sane. Like, I can be having the shittest day ever and you will send me something so outlandish on Reddit that I'm just sort of like, this guy has no concept of how deep I am in my own well right now. And I fucking adore that he's just sort of like, are you struggling, mate? Yeah, but here's a remix of Barbie Girl at 3 a.m. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I need this. But how are you doing? How are you doing really? Lay it on me.
Yeah, it's been a difficult couple of months. I think the thing is that there was the incident where you know, I had my most... there was the incident where I had my most recent mental breakdown. And then it's kind of been nice because when you get that low, progress is easy. You know, it's like, oh, I showered this week. Wicked. I'm growing. Right?
1000%, buddy. Getting out of bed is a fucking self high five. Do you know
what
I mean?
But I've kind of got to a point now where it's a bit like a hermit crab, right? It has to swap shells. And there was a time 1000%. Where I got swept out of my shell and I just took on a little Coke can and I was like, this is fine. This is what I deserve. And I'm growing now, but I haven't found my new shell. I haven't found a new flat. I haven't got my life back to where I was. I've fixed a load of really fundamental stuff, but I am still essentially living with family and dirt poor, and my life is not my own. And it's a good thing that that is starting to hurt.
It's a great thing.
But also, ow.
Also, though, bud, I need to say how fucking incredibly proud I am of you, because you've not done what... What me and you used to bond over is how incredibly well we could build on rubble.
Yeah, that was our specialist
subject. See how high it goes.
Yeah.
And we were great at it. But what you've done now is you've spent a long time working on fucking
the soil,
shoveling the rubble, getting it out of the way and building a solid foundation. And every time you talk to me about it and you're like, God, it's so mundane, it's boring, I'm fucking, it's just this and it's this and it's after. And every time you do it, I'm just that little bit more proud of you, because fuck me, mate, it's a hard
thing
to do.
Bud. I do love you.
It is a hard thing to do. I love you too, man.
What are you rating Alien?
3? No, I'm joking. A fat 10. Obviously, fat it's 10. A fat 10.
Fat 10.
It's the fattest 10.
Fat 10.
Yeah.
That is all easy. The time we have for this week, but thank you so much for joining us. It means the world to us.
We sincerely mean that. We love and appreciate each and every one of you so fucking much. You have no idea how much it makes our week. You have no idea how much it validates our existence, and you have no idea how much we crave your approval.
Oh, God. Now, Ben's going to take the thoughts, themes, and subtext of this movie, and thank you for spending an hour of your week with us, especially at the start of the week, by giving you a little Monday motivation pep talk. I'm just going to cosplay as society and tell you to consume.
The most important lesson we can take from Alien, and I feel like everyone needs to hear this at some point, is to just shut the fuck up and listen to the smart person. You know what I mean? Like, because it might not be you, is what I'm saying. All right, just shut the fuck up, listen to the smart person who's trying to find a cat, and be like, fuck, that's it, that's the most important thing right now. Get the fucking cat. Let's get the cat and fuck off.